ask the Lord to bless his word. Father, we just thank you. We praise you, God, for all that you're doing in us and through us. I ask you, Lord, to just be with us tonight. Help your word to come alive to us, Father. I thank you for understanding. I thank you for revelation, Father, about tithing and seeding and alms. And I thank you, Lord, that as your word speaks to us, we will just find areas and places that we need to adjust in our lives and that we need to trust you more. And I thank you, Lord, for giving seed to our, to the sowers tonight in the name of Jesus. Amen. All right, so last week we talked about the tithe and about stewardship and obedience. And tonight we're going to get into alms. And this gentleman here last week came up to see me after class and had a great question about alms. And I think it's sometimes the understanding about what an alm is confusing. So tonight we're going to clarify that for you. Amen. Let's look at Matthew 6, 1 through 4. Take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men to be seen by them. Otherwise, you have no reward for your, from your Father in heaven. Therefore, when you do a charitable deed, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory from men. Assuredly, I say to you that they have their reward. But when you do a charitable deed, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that your charitable deed may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will himself reward you openly. So an alm is when you give something to someone. It's we'll see it a lot during these holiday seasons where, you know, you hear of someone that's in need that can't buy gifts for their children so that God may prompt you to give into their family and help the mom or dad buy the gifts for the kids. That's an alm, something that is above your tithe, something that you're not expecting a return from. Right? We know that God blesses us and we know that he'll reward us in some way because the passage just tells us that. But it doesn't mean that it's like the harvest when you are planting seed in the ground. An alm is when we're giving and just knowing that we're being obedient to God's word by blessing someone, by giving to them, and that God will see to it that we're rewarded down the line his way. Amen? So he might bless us with favor. He could bless us with spiritual blessings. He could give us the same thing that we gave the person. Or he could just find another way to bring blessing to your life. But it's not like your harvest that you're planting when you plant seed in the ground. It's a different. It's different. Amen? So when we give an alm, we have to give it with the right heart, right? We're not expecting somebody to give back to us because I gave to you. Now, a loan is not an alm, okay? When you give a loan, you're expecting repayment for that loan, right? Your bank did not give you an alm when they gave you your mortgage. They're expecting you to pay your mortgage at the first of the month, right? They're expecting that. But when we give an alm, once we give it, we don't have control over what they do with it. This gentleman was telling me a story how he, someone that he knew of was in need, and the Lord prompted his heart to give into that need. But then shortly thereafter, he finds out that the guy is looking for parts for his truck, and he's shopping online or whatever. But that is not going toward what he thought it was going to go towards, right? I know I've had that happen to me before. Amen? That's why when you give an alm, you really should make sure that God has spoken you to give that alm. Because the heart has to be right with the giving. Just like when we give our seed, and we plant our seed here in the ground here or wherever, our heart has to be right. The Bible says that we're to be a cheerful giver, right? Not under compulsion, not being under stress or duress to give, but with a cheerful heart so that you're not crabbing about it later on. Oh, I had to give that $50. And I hope they do the right thing with it. I hope that they pay the light bill, or I hope that it doesn't matter. Once you give that seed, it's released from you and then it's put into the hands of whoever that is going to. And that's the same thing with an alm. When we give an alm, we are giving something, we are giving towards someone's need. But we don't have any control over what they do with that finance. Amen? Or what they do with whatever we've given them. I've given furniture before, thinking that, you know, I'm giving furniture and I think you should do this with it. And the person promptly gave the furniture away to somebody else. And I'm thinking, but you said you needed it. I gave it willingly. And now I have no right to get upset when they then turn around and give it to somebody else. Amen? So we need to have that understanding of what an alms is. We can't expect that our giving in that respect is going to bring finances into our hand. It's purely however God chooses to reward you. Our Matthew 25 ministry is an alms. We give an alms every single week to those children and to those families, and we're not expecting anything back from them, right? They can't repay us. We're just giving it to them because we're obeying the word. Let's go to that scripture, and I do love it. It's Matthew 25, 34 through 40. And then the king will say to those on his right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food, and I was thirsty, and you gave me drink, and I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to see me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when we did see you hungry and fed you, or thirsty and give you drink, when did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? So they're asking the questions, I didn't see you out naked on the street. I didn't see you hungry. But when we do it as unto others, as the Lord instructs us, he looks at that just like we're doing it for him, right? And Matthew 25 is a wonderful ministry that they're giving back to the community. They're feeding those children. Do you realize how much they send home with those kids during school vacation? Some of us have packed those bags up, right? And that's an awesome, awesome alms that's being given on behalf of our church, on behalf of ourselves. Blessing others is the character and nature of God. That is who he is. He is a giver, right? He gave Christ to us first. He loved us first. And then we, as that example is seen, then give back to him by doing those things that he's called us to do. 1 John 3:17 says, but whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts his heart up from him, how does the love of God abide in him? So we naturally have to be givers. That is the heart of God. And, I see a lot of people in this world who they wouldn't give you the shirt off their back. They wouldn't give you anything. They wouldn't even help you get across the street if you needed help. But that is not God showing through. God is the giver of all. And we need to align our hearts with how his heart is. That's what we're called to do. So self-examination is a good thing. It's not a bad thing, right? Acts 10:31 says, Cornelius, your prayer has been heard and your alms are remembered in the sight of God. So he does reward us for giving alms. We should never feel like we can't give unless we know we're going to get something back. That's not who God is, and that's not how he operates. All right, so let's talk about seed time and harvest. Genesis 1:12, the earth brought forth grass and the herb that yields seed according to its kind, and the tree that yields fruit, whose seed is in itself according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. So life is in the seed. You know, we have children. Why? Because seed is planted and children are brought forth. When we plant corn in the ground, you're going to get corn. When you plant beans, you're going to get beans. Whatever that is, whatever you plant is what's going to come forth. You don't plant corn and get, bananas. That doesn't happen. So you're going to get that thing of what it's, you're going to get it back what it is out of, the same kind of seed. When we financially plant seed in the kingdom of God, we are going to reap what? Finances, right? That's what I'm expecting. When I plant seed at His Tabernacle Family Church, when I plant seed in ministries that come through here, they're good ground, And I'm expecting that God is going to see my planting and then he's going to bring in my harvest. Sometimes what people don't understand is that to continuously reap your harvest, you have to be continuously planting, right? Now, that doesn't mean you need to plant your the finances for your light bill every single month. You know, if you know a ministry gift is coming into the church, you should be praying, and we know in advance most all the time, you should be praying for seed. Why? Because God is the giver of seed for us to sow. So if you don't have seed in your hand, you should be asking him even before the speaker comes, Lord, I want to plant when he's here or when she's here, and I'm expecting you to give me some seed. Why? I'm a tither. That's the first prerequisite right there. You have to be a tither. Then I need seed, Lord. Bring it into my hand, and he will. Now, a lot of times people see the extras coming into their hand, and it's tempting to spend, right? To eat your seed. That's what it's talking about. When you take the seed that the Lord has put into your hand and then you actually spend it and waste it. That's why it's important that we need to pay attention and hear the heart of God. When seed comes in, we need to set it aside for what it belongs to. Amen? So life is in the seed. When God created the earth, he planned to create it so that it would reproduce itself through seed. And the Father's plan is that when the seed is created, when he created the seed and then it's planted, it's going to bring forth that harvest. Amen? So, I lost my place. I'm sorry. Let's look at Mark 4, 26 and 29. And he said, the kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground and should sleep by night and rise by day, and the seed should sprout and grow. He himself does not know how. For this earth yields crops by itself, first the blade, then the head, after that the full grain in the head. But when the grain ripens, immediately he puts in the sickle because the harvest has come. So what is considered seed in the world, in the word? The Lord made a covenant with Noah that seed time and harvest would not cease. Genesis 8:22 says, and while the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer and day and night shall not cease. So life of the living, the seed is in itself. Like we already talked about, the word of God is seed. If there is a need in your life, you should be planting the word of God against that issue, right? When you're going through an experience, you should be quoting the word of God over that experience and expecting, the Bible says in Isaiah, that whatever the word is sent to, it shall accomplish. It shall be accomplished. So when you have a need, the word of God is your seed. That is what you should be speaking over your need. If it's finances, if it's health, if it's whatever it is, you know, turmoil, you should be speaking the word of God over that need so that the seed is being planted against it and then it is going to come back. Amen? The word produces all the time. I've seen it all the time, my whole life. The Messiah, Galatians 3:16, God's seed to the earth to reap the harvest of souls. Jesus is our seed, right? For the harvesting of souls here on this earth. He was planted so that we would have a harvest. Our words are seed. Proverbs 18:21 says, life and death are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. What are you speaking? Your words are seed. Are you speaking death over your situation, or are you speaking life over your situation? Huh? Sometimes you need to zip it, right? If you don't have anything good to say, sometimes you just need to be quiet. Because we don't understand sometimes how important what we say over our situation, how it will come out. If you continue to say all the time, oh, I'm so sick. Oh, I'm so sick. Oh, I'm so sick. I wish I wasn't so sick. If those are your words, guess what? You're going to be sick, right? Because you're planting those words in the atmosphere, which is very fertile ground. Amen? When we plant in the summertime, now I do not like to garden. I really hate gardening. Mike doesn't either, so we don't have to worry about any gardening. But the thing is that my mother loves to plant. And when she plants her garden, when she plants either seed or she plants the plants, what is she doing? She's making sure the ground is nice and fertile. She's watering them all the time. She's weeding around them to make sure nothing grows up and chokes out the plant, right? She's taking care of it. When you plant seed in the offering plate, what are you doing next? You should be doing this. Lord, I thank you for my harvest. I thank you, Lord, that I planted seed today knowing that you will bring forth the harvest in my life. You know what the need is that I'm asking you about. I'm expecting it. I'm thanking you for it. I'm just watering my seed with prayer in the name of Jesus. As you do that, you will see the harvest come forth. I remember one time I was in Maine. Actually, my aunt and uncle, I had just moved to Maine, and they came up to visit. And we had just moved into a new house, a new old house. It was quite old. It was like falling down around us. I had stopped working. When I lived in Massachusetts, I had a very good job. I worked full-time. My kids were in daycare. But when I moved to Maine, I stayed home with my kids. And so everything was cut in half immediately, right? We didn't have any oil. I never said a word, did I? I never said one word. They came to my house. They were visiting with my mom and my stepdad. And before we left, my uncle said he wanted to talk to me. And I said, okay. And he said the Lord spoke to me, and he told me to give you money for your oil. He had no idea I didn't have any oil in my tank. And it was supposed to drop down really cold that next week. He had no idea. But you know what? He was planting. Amen. He was giving me an alm, but the reward, he already knew God was going to bless him. Amen. The thing is that when you're planting in ministry, when you're planting in ministry gifts that are coming into the church, you have to hear what the Holy Spirit says to you. You have to be sure that whatever he's telling you to plant, that harvest is going to come in on that. Amen. Now, there's sometimes you come to understand a need. Not all the time have I been told to plant in that need. I've heard about the need, but sometimes I'm not prompted to plant in that need. Why? Because the Lord knows what's good ground and better than I do. Amen? And that's why it's so important that when you're getting ready to plant your seed, that you know the ground that you're planting in is good and fertile, and that you're going to reap something from it. Otherwise, what are you doing? You're just tossing it out the window, all right? We don't want to do that. We're expecting, right? I'm expecting a harvest. The Lord told me for a period of time I was to plant a certain amount of money every paycheck, and I was to do this until he told me to stop. You know, it's money, right? I need money to live. You need money to live. But you know what? I knew that if I was obedient and I was faithful, that the Lord would honor my seed. And sure enough, within a few weeks of planting the seed, just like he told me to do, I reaped some real estate clients that I could have never, I didn't even know, they were calling out of the blue. And it was amazing because I didn't do that. God did. He was just honoring my planting, right? I had asked for finances, and he saw to it to get them to me. Amen? We have to just make sure that we're hearing and we're obeying, and that the words that you're watering your seed with are good words. Amen? And our actions. Our actions have something to do with it, too. Let's look at Galatians 6, 7, and 8. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, he shall reap also. For he who sows to his flesh will reap of the flesh. He who sows to the flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. What does that mean? That means that when you're taking the time to water your spirit with the Word of God, to water your spirit with prayer, and you're not, you know, reaping to your, you're not sowing to your flesh, right? you're sowing to your spirit. That means that God is going to bless your spirit. He's going to bring growth to your spirit. And your actions have something to do. It's all connected. And we just can't do whatever we want. Amen? We have to be obedient to the word. We can expect money. 2 Corinthians 9:6 says, "But I say this, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or out of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver." Your heart has something to do with it. We have to make sure our heart is in the right place. Amen? I love to hear people's take on Christianity, because especially in the place that I work, it's not very positive. And they think just because they show up at church, you know, they're a Christian. I look at what's the fruit that's coming out of them. What is the action coming out of them? What is the heart of them? That tells me how they're living. That tells me how they're walking out that walk. And I judge people by their heart. Amen? I look at their heart. I want to see their heart. Now, sometimes the heart doesn't always, or your actions don't always line up with your heart. Right? It sometimes takes a little time as you're growing in the word. But as we take the time and we plant the seed of the word in our hearts, our actions will begin to line up with the word of God. And that seed that's being sown from the word into our heart will manifest. Sometimes it just takes a little time. Let's look at how we control our seed in our harvest in finances. So what is sown is going to be what's produced. This is not in the hands of God anymore. It's in our hands. It's totally up to me. If God tells me to plant $50 into a certain place and I choose not to do it, I've now taken my harvest out of God's hands and I've taken it into my own hands. Should I expect to receive anything? Probably not, right? I know God's faithful all the time, but why is he going to honor me when I can't be obedient to him? He's not going to. What we sow, we shall reap in every area of our life. And that is the truth. If we're sowing love and mercy and compassion, we're going to reap love, mercy, and compassion. If we're sowing hatred and, you know, being mean and angry, that's what we're going to get back. So make sure your actions do exactly what he says. Let's look at 2 Corinthians 9:6 through 12. And again, we just went over this, but he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. He who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things may have an abundance for every good work. As it is written, he has dispersed abroad, he has given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. Now may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness, while you are enriched in everything for all liberality, which causes thanksgiving through us to God. So I know that if I'm obedient and I'm sowing, then I can expect God to take care of my need, right? First, I have to be a tither, then I have to be a sower, right? And my heart has to be right, and my actions have to be right. And when all those things are right, then I know I can expect God to bless me in my finances and in my life. Not lined up, partially lined up, things are not going to always be in order if I don't obey. And we talked about that last week. Obedience is so critical. Sowing is like an investment. If I buy a piece of real estate, you know, I'm a real estate agent. We've bought many apartment units. If I buy an apartment unit, but I take the profit and I do horrible things with it, and I let the apartment house go to pieces, I'm not being a good steward, and why should I expect that I'm going to get a good tenant in there, right? Why should I expect that my payment's going to get made? Why should I expect the building isn't going to fall down around my tenants, right? I'm asking for trouble. And so as we take and put everything back into God's hands and not into our own hands, then we can expect him to do something with it. And then he is required to do something with it. The onus goes back to him, right? That's when I can say, like in Malachi 3, I can say, Lord, you said you would rebuke the devourer for my sake. You said I could test you in this thing. You said, because I've put it in your hands and I'm letting you take care of it. So I'm expecting you to take care of me. Does that make sense? Yes. Let's look at Philippians 4, 15 through 19. And you Philippians yourselves well know that in the early days of the gospel ministry, when I left Macedonia, no church entered into partnership with me and opened up a debit and a credit account in giving and receiving except you only. So when you are giving, you are actually opening up an account and deposits are being made into your account. Do you understand that? Deposits are being made into your account, not only spiritually, but financially. And so we have to be able to be planting in order to spread the gospel. The gospel is expensive. And the church needs finances to spread the gospel. We determined that last week through scripture. And as we begin to give into every good work, as we begin to, you know, the Lord shows us where to plant, we are going to get those things back that we need. I remember one time I needed a car. You know, I needed a car really bad. Mine was on its last leg. And I began to plant seed at church, in our church, in our home church. And as I did that, I began to pray that God would bless me with a car. Well, he did. He gave me a car. I didn't even have to buy it. One time I needed finances to pay a large bill. I needed $10,000. I had no idea where I was going to get $10,000. I began to seed. I began to pray and water my seed. And within several weeks, someone handed us $10,000 to pay that bill. Not anything I did, because weeks before that, I had no idea where that money was going to come from. Last week, I used an experience that when my husband was sick, money was coming in from everywhere. We had $40,000 in credit card debt that I didn't know about, right? We were behind. I had no idea. And as I took over the bills because he was so sick, he couldn't do it himself. And as I learned what was going on, I had to begin to plant and pray because it was only working off of my paycheck. And as I did that, the Lord cleared up all my debt, $40,000 worth of debt. It happens. It's real. You can't outgive God. He is the only one that can bless you with the things that you need and can give you what you need and can take care of you better than any person on the face of the earth. Amen? But he will use men to give into your bosom. He will use men and women to give into your pocket. And why? Because that's who we are. That's who he uses. Amen? So we have to trust God with our money. You know, I challenge the people who are not tithers. There's only 20% of his Tabernacle Family Church that tithes. That's 80% that's not tithing. Can you imagine if even, you know, 60% tithed? What could we do for the gospel? And so I challenged you last week. If you're not a tither and a giver, take the dollar out of your pocket that you were going to buy gum with. Amen? Don't swallow your gum. But even that dollar, you know, as you begin to trust God with a little, he's going to give you more. And, you know, frankly, we all need to step it up. Amen? It's important. All right, let's talk about the farmer. 2 Corinthians 9, 6 through 12, we've already read that passage. One thing that's awesome is that he shows and parallels heaven with earth. So the principles of sowing and reaping are eternal principles. They're not man-made principles. They're God-made principles. He came up with this idea. Obviously, he established it. Why? Because he knows it works. Amen? So we have to begin to say, yes, I'm going to do it God's way. I'm going to do my finances God's way. We're going to be so blessed. You're going to get your socks blessed off, and you're not even going to realize it. The farmer each year makes a decision to plant his ground with seed to bring forth a harvest that he can use to feed his flocks, his family, and everything else. I remember growing up, the burpee seed packages, those were considered to be the best seeds on the face of the earth, you know. And really, I don't remember any other seed name, so that's the one that stuck out to me. But that farmer looks for the best seed that he's going to plant in his ground. Why? Because when he plants corn, he wants to make sure he gets all those, you know, he gets all three of those corn cobs. Yeah, he wants all three of those to grow, not just one. So he's looking for the best seed to plant so that he can be guaranteed that all of those corn kernels are going to grow on that corn. Amen? And that he's not going to have to use it to just feed the cow. He's going to be able to sell some of it so that he can make some money. Right? Right? We have a farmer in the house right here. Rich is a farmer. We have to know that our seed is going into that ground that's fertile. If I'm supposed to reap a $1,000 blessing off my seed, I don't want just 100. I want the whole 1,000. Right? I mean, I can do something with 100, but I want all that God's promised to me. See, and that's a place that you can be a little greedy. You should always want all of what God wants to do for you, not just a portion of it, because you're missing something. You should be expecting to get all of it. And as we are obedient, we will get all of it. Amen? 1 acre of seed planting is planted is not going to produce the same as 10 acres of seed planted. And it's important to understand this term. Let's look at Mark 12, 41 through 44. And he looked up and saw the rich putting their gifts into the treasury. And he saw also a certain poor widow putting in 2 mites. So he said, "Truly, I say to you that this poor widow has put in more than all, for all these out of their abundance have put in offerings for God. But she, out of her poverty, put in all the livelihood that she had." So to one person, you know, a huge amount might be a sacrifice. But to that person who only has the $2 in their pocket, that's all that's left between them and starvation. But God spoke to them to put the $2 in. God sees that as even more of a blessing than the rich guy who took the wad of bills out of his pocket and threw it in the bucket, right? She gave out of her need. She knew she needed something. She's expecting something. And God is going to bless that sacrifice and that obedience. We determine our reaping by the size of the seed that we plant. Again, if you give sparingly, you're going to give back sparingly. If you give bountifully, you're going to get back bountifully. Now, that's all relative. What's bountifully to you may be different than what it is to me. What's sparingly to you may be different than what it is to me. That's why God is such a personal God. Amen? He deals with us where we are and personally. And he doesn't judge us. See, we're so quick to see what each other does, you know. Oh, did you see they only gave that much? Oh, they could have done more. You know they could have done more. You know, that stuff is talked about in churches, especially in churches. We have to make sure that we're doing exactly what God tells us to do, exactly when he tells us to do it, exactly how he tells us to do it, and not care what anybody else is talking about and what they're thinking about, because it's between me and him. Amen? I want to do it his way. God provides seed to us when we don't have any. Being perpetual is really important. I don't want my harvest to stop after 3 weeks. I don't want it to stop after 6 months. I want my harvest to continue. You know, I have a full-time job, but I sell real estate on the side. So for me, I come to church and I go to work. Those are the only two places that I have interaction, really, with people. So God has to, as I plant, he brings contacts. He brings people to me that I can help to find a home. And I don't have to go out and solicit. I don't have to go out and, make my own way. He makes my way. But that comes from a perpetual harvest that I plant every single week. That's what I'm asked to do. That's what I do. And so as I'm obedient to him, he brings things my way. And I don't want that to stop. We ask God to provide that perpetual seed so that we can have a perpetual harvest in all seasons. Plant with expectation. Don't just throw your money in the bucket. Expect to get back what you asked God for. See, when a woman is pregnant with a child, she's expecting that baby to come out in 9 months or less, right? Because I can promise you, you do not want that baby in there past the due date. Because it makes you cry the whole time that happens until that child comes out. Amen? Now, you guys don't even know what I'm talking about. All I'm saying to you is you do not want to go past the due date because you're done with it, as Pastor Johnson talked about last week. I'm expecting to have that baby at some point, right? Never again. I've already had my babies. But I expected it to happen. And so I expected. When you're planting your seed, you should be anticipating. You should be expecting and looking for your return, looking for your harvest. Now, I think God's really cool because a lot of times we think we know exactly how he's going to get stuff back to us. We have it all worked it up in our head, that perfect plan. Oh, yes, and this is going to happen, and then this is going to happen. Well, you know what? Not one time did I ever have God do it the way I thought it was going to happen. Ever. Ever. It was always so much way better, right? I mean, I was expecting to get money to buy a car. I had someone give me a nice car, right? This person tried to sell their car. It was my father-in-law. Now, he knew we needed a car, but he specifically came to me and he said, I know you're praying for a car, but I'm not giving it to you. All right, that's okay. God knows how to get me a car. I didn't really care, right? That man tried to sell that car for weeks and weeks and weeks, could not sell the car. This man has never had trouble selling a car. Finally, after like a month or so, he comes to me, goes, all right, it's yours. Here is the keys. Here's the title, right? Free and clear. A perfectly good operating car that I drove until it could drive no more. But you know what? I didn't expect to be given a car, but that was God's way of making it happen. Amen? So if you need a car, God does give cars. I'm telling you right now, it happens. It really does. Never expect that you're not going to receive anything, right? Always expect that you're going to get that harvest. Expectation is the breeding ground for miracles. You know, if you're believing God for healing in your body, you should be expecting that healing to show up any second. Any second. If we don't have any expectation, how can we then expect a miracle? We can't. You know, it's okay to dream. It's okay to expect. It's okay to wonder. It's okay to look for that thing that God's going to do in your life. Because if you're not looking, you're going to miss it, right? You could miss it. And I don't want to miss anything. Process of the farmer. So you tell me if I'm right, Rich, okay? This is the process of the farmer. You know your seed, right? You choose your ground. You prepare your ground. Is that true? Then you plant your seed. And then you oversee it by protecting it. right? You protect your seed so that the crows aren't coming to steal it out of the ground, the animals. That's right. And then you work your seed. That means you're watering it. You're taking care of it. My mother uses Miracle-Gro like it's going out of style when it's plant season, right? The woman spends hundreds of dollars on her plants. And I can promise you, she doesn't want them to die because she spent hundreds of dollars on her plants. So she works the Miracle-Gro. And then they expect a harvest even though time passes. See, that's the key right there. Just because you plant today doesn't mean you're going to get your harvest tomorrow. Or even in 6 months. Or even in a year. Sometimes it's many years. Amen? And sometimes it's not the way you thought it was going to come. So we need to have that spirit of expectation about us so that we're not going to miss it. We know it's coming. We know God's got it going on. We're thanking him for it. We're watering our seed. We're doing everything he tells us to do. Why? So that we can get what we know God's going to give us. Amen? 60 days? Well, you're going to see something usually in 60 days. Well, you should be looking for then in about 60 days if you've planted seed. Because you know what? A lot of times, like Mike's been planting grass this fall. He planted it at the house when they put the new meters in. They tore up all our grass on the front lawn. So as he planted the grass, you know, he's like, I don't know if it's really going to grow because it's colder now. It had gotten colder, and he did what he was supposed to do, and then it's totally up to the seed whether the grass actually grows. We drove by the other day and stopped at the house, and the grass looks better than ever. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. It's like this tall now. But the thing is that, you know, he had to do his part for the grass to even begin to grow. Yeah, that's right. So we have to expect that we're going to get it. They receive what they planted with abundance. What are you planting? Why are you planting? Amen? Those are the questions, making sure that they line up the Word of God. So I encourage you tonight, if you haven't planted any seed in a while, ask the Lord what he'd have you to plant. We all have needs. We all have things that we're asking and believing God for, right? Use this as a challenge. Ask God, I want to plant some seed, Lord. I want to see you work. I want to see what you're doing. And so I'm asking you to present seed in my hand and then an opportunity to plant. And watch your harvest come in. Amen? It will encourage you. That's why we did testimonies last week, because it builds your faith when you hear. You know, did anybody get excited when you heard that I got a car one time for free? Yeah. Yes. Well, if I didn't share that with you, would you even really realize that God gives out cars from time to time? Some people don't. They don't know. No, I didn't. I have two natural children, but I spent many years not being able to have children. 7 years, actually. I had 6 miscarriages before I even had my daughter. And I prayed and asked God for a child. It was kind of discouraging from time to time when I saw, you know, time after time. But you know what? God is faithful. Amen? I didn't care how that baby came. I didn't care if it came out of me or through adoption or whatever. And as I began to just really trust God and plant my seed in prayer, right? And plant my seed and water my seed, watched my words, paid attention. God did bless me with 2 children, actually 3 children. I have one that's adopted. And she's as big a blessing to me as the other 2. Amen? So, you know, we just need to watch what we say and water our seed with the Word of God, which is truth. Amen? Questions? Anybody got questions or comments, or do you have a testimony? Anybody got a testimony? Oh.
It's a testimony, and I just want you to know I was already rewarded for that deed that I did and for my teething or tithing and seeding that I do all the time. Mm-hmm. In the back of my mind, I kept thinking about a bill that I had along back in 2010. And that just kept getting me, yeah. So I called the insurance company that I don't even belong to anymore. And the lady started going through it. And she says, you know what, Mr. Petroni? You're absolutely right. We're going to send you out a check for $4,000. And I just found that out 2 days ago. So, yes, it does pay off.
See, now, that's a blessing, isn't it? Wouldn't you like to get $4,000 back? Right. But the thing is that now he gave an alms, right? He is only expecting that God will do that reward to him. We don't know how it was going to be rewarded to him. It happened to be financially that God rewarded him. But that wasn't seed that he planted, you know, but it's perpetual seed that you've been planting, right? The alms was just another piece of the reward because of the obedience. Amen? Another testimony? Are we building your faith?
Yeah. So my testimony is a double testimony of the exact same thing. So as you were talking about how God blessed you with a car and how the person came and said, I'm not going to give it to you, and tried to sell it and everything, that is exactly what happened with the car that God just gave me this year. Not like a month and a half ago. Couple was trying to sell the car, couldn't sell it. Heard the message from Pastor Michael about access and does it really belong to you or not, and then said, you know what? Yep, we know that this person needs a car. We're going to give the car. But then that was the second time God had blessed me with a car that I didn't have to pay for. The first time, I wasn't even praying for a vehicle. My children were very small and young. But there, people in my church knew I had that need. And my name was entered into a raffle from another church that was giving away a car. And I won the raffle. Didn't even know my name had been submitted to the raffle and won the raffle.
No, I had the time that I got the car, I had a girlfriend that she was like, well, I needed a car. Why did God bless you with a car? I'm a tither and a giver too. And her heart wasn't right. Amen? Now, she had been believing God for a car too, but her heart wasn't right. That's why it's so important to make sure our heart lines up with the word. Amen? And keep it sweet. And then God can do his part. Any more testimonies? You have one? No? Oh. Sorry. I got my glasses on, but they're not working tonight. What's your testimony?
Mine was a medical condition. I was crying out on my mom's living room floor. You know, before that, I didn't even know if God was real or not. And I called out to him, and I said, Abba, Father, do you have just a minute? And he came literally right. I was sitting in my mom's chair with my yarn as I was learning how to crochet. And I asked him if he had just a minute. I literally felt him working in my neck because I had a thyroid goiter. And I felt him take it out of me in 1 second. And then he said to me, do you want evidence that I'm real? As I looked down at my yarn, there was one drop of blood stained into my yarn.
It's amazing. God's a good God. I mean, you can't outgive him, and he just wants to take care of you and bless you. Ooh, we got Julie back here.
Thanks. I had sowed seed as well, and I had hot water heater die. And I had someone buy a new hot water heater and free installation for the hot water heater as well with some help. So there were actually multiple people involved. And then my oven died, and I had, I'm not asking anybody for this. Just, these are people just coming and doing this. So I'm doing, you know, without the oven. And then I had several different people. It's complicated anyway. They came together And I ended up with, it's a used oven, but it's, I mean, it's beautiful. The stove, it's far more beautiful than anything I would have ever purchased. I mean, it's way beyond what my price range would be. And I love it. It's wonderful. It's such a blessing. And it's got a really good baking oven. So it's like, yes, so good. Cool. And then what was the other thing? There's another thing. In my living room, I have a large living room, but I had just a very, very old rickety chair. And I had a couple of rocking chairs. And we didn't have any couches or anything. And actually, I gifted my couch to somebody else. It was a very nice couch. I gifted it. And so someone came to me and said, you know, Lord's telling us to gift you a couch and a matching love seat. And so I made access to my home available to them and came home from work one day. And here they were. And the colors in the living room just matched perfectly. I mean, it's God's timing, and just, it's just amazing. So he's so faithful.
You know, God, why is he going to give you junk? He's not going to give you junk, right? If you ask him for something, is he going to go to the junkyard and get it for you? No. He's going to make sure you have something great, right? I mean, March ended up with a brand new lawnmower. She asked the Lord for a lawnmower. She came home and it was still in the box. I know. She was expecting a repaired lawnmower. She got a brand spanking new one. So, I mean, we really don't trust God. And we really need to get to that place where we just say, you know what, God? You're bigger than my problem. And I just know you got me. You got it. I know you do. And, you know, that comes with prayer, comes with trusting, you know. It's okay. One more. Oh, we got one more.
I have been receiving, and I have to expect that it's only by my faith that I'm receiving, because I don't have a lot to give right now. I give my time to the church, and I have good faith, and I'm receiving on my faith, I believe.
And that's also, you know, if you don't have money in your hand, you can tithe. I mean, you can plant a seed with your time, with other things, you know?
Wife and I had got some siding to go onto the house a few years ago. We were buying it. Somebody else was putting it on. And we lacked money for the contractor to come up and do the job. We lacked $900. The Lord had told me to go to a man I work with and borrow the money from him and tell that man that it would be paid back in 30 days. I went to him asking for $900, and he says, of course, and pulled $900, nine $100 bills out of his wallet. I told him I'd pay it back in 30 days. A week went by, nothing. Second week went by, nothing. Third week went by, nothing. The middle of the fourth week, I get a thing from Metro Life Insurance. And to make a long story short, was my father, which had was at this time had passed away several years ago, had bought a contract with Metro Life. They had sent out a letter to where we used to live. We didn't live there no more. They sent the letter back to New York, but it was from someplace in Florida. This where they ended up going from New York back to Florida, back to us. Exactly. And what it was, on the time I was supposed to pay him back, I had $900 in my hand to pay him back, plus $23.13 that was needed to pay the rest of it, pay the bill. Amen. So this was planned. My stepfather, had bought a life insurance policy on me, a kid's life, I guess. And it took him all this time to get a hold of me.
Came right at the right time.
Right exact time, right on a minute. Amen. Not even the 11th hour.
God is never late, and most of the time he's not early either, but that's okay. It's okay, right? Because we have to trust, and that's what builds our faith and our trust in him. That was good stuff, huh? I mean, my faith is built up tonight. You know, I'm expecting. I have some things in the fire that I'm expecting, and you know, I know that God's going to come through. Amen? All right, let's just close this up tonight with the prayer, and we'll just ask the Lord to give us opportunities this week. Amen? For seed in our hand and places to sow it in. Lord, we just thank you for your word. It's so rich and it's so full, Lord. I feel like I just ate a steak. I thank you, Lord, that you are so faithful to us and that you want to see us excel. You want to see us grow in you, and you want our faith to be exercised. And Lord, we just ask you tonight for seed for our hand and then opportunities to plant. And I thank you, Lord, that as we are faithful, you will also be faithful to us as we know you will be. And I thank you, Lord, that you help us to have eyes, to watch over our finances, to be good stewards, Lord, but most of all, to be obedient to your word and to be a blessing to you. And we thank you for all these things. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You know, all the people who are watching by live stream, I apologize. I did not address you when I first started, but I'm so glad you could join us tonight. And Pastor will be back next week. Amen.